Hey there, this is It's All Good, a Block Club Chicago podcast. I'm your host, John Hansen, and this is episode 54. And we went back and forth on the title for the episode. Here was the first one. Chicago Debates is Shaping the Next Generation of Leaders. And that's a nice one. Ultimately, we settled on, can these Chicago kids beat you in a debate? Probably. And I learned firsthand that they definitely can. Let's get right to this really fun episode.
I don't really know how I debate. I just debate. It kind of turns off my mind and I just talk. It's like relaxing. It's kind of like I go into the zone, so to speak.
It's just fun to debate, whether you win or not. Honestly, I really like debating because it's a way to argue, and you don't have to get in trouble with your parents for it.
I speak about it as if I'm passionate about it because I am. I take out a lot of time in my day to work on my debate and to work on my case. And it's just I spent so much time and energy and just being there till 9 o'clock at night, just arguing and just doing what I need to do to win. It's just like I have to be passionate about it because there's just no other option.
Those were the voices of Gael Quaid, Maura Schumacher, and Nia Joy Knox. Gael and Maura are about to be sophomores, Nia Joy about to be a senior, all Chicago Public School students, and they love debate. And they gather for the Chicago Debates Summer Institute every year. And as someone who was on the speech team and loved debate, I had to check out the camp as they celebrated their 25th year. We're going to hear more from those incredible students in a bit, and I'm going to try and jump in and debate myself with them a little bit in a moment. But let's get to the classroom on the third floor at Whitney Young, where I learned from Chicago Debates Executive Director Dr. Toynette Gunn what a day is like at the camp.
So we are here today. You are joining us for our immersive debate camp experience. We have a virtual online format of debate camp, but we're here at Whitney Young High School for students who are in person with us for the next 2 weeks doing debate camp.
How many students and where do they come from?
So students come from all over Chicagoland to participate in debate camp. During the school year, our programming is exclusively in partnership with Chicago Public Schools, but these students come from everywhere, and we have about 120 students in camp this year.
All sorts of ages, too.
That is correct. Fifth grade through 12th grade.
Fifth grade?
Yes, as young as fifth grade.
Is it okay to arm 10-year-olds with the ability to debate their parents like this?
I don't know. I'm a parent of a soon-to-be eighth grader, and I would say I don't like all of the debating that happens in the house.
But it's an important skill to learn.
It is.
For now and for the future.
It is. It is an extremely important activity because it's cultivating a number of critical academic, social, emotional, career, and leadership skills that these young people will use to find success in life. And so, yes, it's not the most fun at home having a student debate with you, but it is skill building, and they will absolutely need it later in life.
These skills have been important for centuries, but with the advent of this, they're becoming rarer, and these students are able to get ahead in a special way.
Yes, absolutely. And so when you think about the skills that are cultivated through debate, critical thinking, I mean, I don't know how many times we say, like, I've said to my kids, like, use your brain, just think, right? And so it really does push them to think more critically. It does force them to look for facts and evidence and data to be able to support arguments, to be able to formulate an argument. And so when you think about students writing a research paper and how you have to be able to use evidence and data to support an argument in a paper, they're doing this verbally. And so then they are strengthening their verbal skills and communication skills.
First of all, it's really fun. And also I've gained like a lot of skills like public speaking. I don't think I would ever be able to public speak if I didn't do debate. Like I've been able to do speeches and stuff. And even though when debate you get up there and you try to speak as fast as you can, I've still, like, it helps me a lot when I can like speak to a lot of people.
They're working together, and so they learn how to collaborate, and teamwork is a big part of that.
Our team is just so great and diverse, and that's another thing I love about Chicago Debates, because you have everybody there. You have athletes, you have people in the arts, you have people in mathletes. Like, it's not just the same type of people in debate. It's just gives me so many types of people, and it's like you're bound to find your person in debate.
They learn to have empathy because they're you know, learning different sides of an argument. They're hearing different perspectives. And so that in itself creates a ton of empathy to be able to have respect for someone else's point of view.
I think what's going on a lot of the time now is that some people are stay to one side and don't look at the other side. And I think if we're able to make a society where we can look at both sides clearly, I think that would help us stay informed and create unison.
They learn to listen, right? And so when we think about skills, listening often is not one of those things that is taught, but students that are debating are listening way more than they are speaking.
When you hear the word debate, you think politicians. Oh, this is setting up the world for politicians, and maybe we'll get some out of these classes today. But this permeates through all sorts of jobs and careers.
Every industry, debaters are everywhere. And so I'm not a former debater, but one of the things that I have been pleasantly surprised by in the 4 years that I've been doing this work is how grand and how large the debate community is. And so you will find debaters everywhere in the journalism and, you know, media industry, in law.
I think I'm going to go into law.
I think law has always been something I wanted to pursue.
In business, entrepreneurs, you know, they do everything because these are skills that are transferable to any industry. And so we really do stress that this is something that everyone should be interested in supporting in terms of helping students to develop these skills, because they're going to land everywhere and they truly are our future leaders.
And to parents watching out there that says, well, my kid's not that, you know, outgoing, is a little bit afraid to get in front of a classroom. I mean, this is gonna transfer into job interviews, so many other things, and confidence.
It absolutely does. You hit the nail on the head. And we have so many stories of, I was shy and debate really helped me to find my voice. It helped me to come out of my shell.
I used to be in like fifth, sixth grade, I was the shyest person ever. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I hated talking. I wasn't good at speaking up in class. And I would say now, I try my best to participate in class. I bring new ideas to the table, you could say, and I try my best to stay informed.
And we do find a lot of parents pushing their children into the activity for that very reason. I am one of those parents as well. I had my son in speech camp this last week for the very reason. He's like, Mom, I don't want to do it. But he's very shy. He doesn't really like to, you know, public speaking and things of that nature. And so I had the same idea, like, this will help you, and it's something you're gonna have to do later in life.
What sorts of things are happening in classrooms?
So students in camp this week, they're only day two in camp, but they are working on what's called our core files and getting very acclimated with the topic, the debate topic for the year.
So this year it's emerging technologies in NATO. 2 years ago it was like arms and dealing arms with countries, like whether to do that or not. I think last year was the water topic where we talked about like fracking. So it gets very specific sometimes, but I always do get to know about like the broad of current events, what's going on at each time. There's always something about like US and Russia.
And fifth and sixth graders are covering these same topics. And so they're just getting acclimated with the research and the structure of debate and things of that nature.
So, I mean, it's obviously great for the individual, right? But having a well-versed next generation is important to democracy.
Absolutely. It really does push students to be more engaged with what's happening in their communities, but it supports really that civil discourse, right? And learning how to, it's okay to disagree, it's okay to have a difference of opinion, but learning how to use that and how to come to the table together to find a solution and being open to other ideas to be able to find those solutions. And so we say all the time that these debaters are going to be so primed for leadership when the time comes, because they're learning all of the important skills to be able to lead and do that very well.
Whenever like I'm talking to someone and they just kind of made a good point, I'm just like, you ate that, okay, you did that, I understand. So it's just kind of like, it does make me say, yeah, that was a good point, and it just makes me just accept their answer more, and it's just less trying to convince people.
Now, you've been here for 4 years. The Chicago Debates, though, has been here for a long time.
We have, and actually, we are happily, excitedly celebrating our 25th anniversary, and so this is a big year for us. We began this partnership with Chicago Public Schools back in 1997, and so we've had a number of activities this year already kind of celebrating that 25-year milestone. We are really excited about that. It is a huge accomplishment to be here 25 years. In that time, we've supported well over 20,000 students in that 25 years history, yes. And so very excited about that. We are opening the doors to corporate and individual sponsors that are interested in supporting our gala and keeping us in Chicago Public Schools and across Chicagoland, ensuring that students have the access and opportunity to this transformative activity.
When you say 20,000 students, 25 years, I mean, you quite literally are talking about a generation of Chicago leaders.
Absolutely, and you will see that. Like, we have the Cook County Public Defender is a former student of ours, Sharon Mitchell, and so you will see he's not the only success story, right? That there are so many of those over the course of our history that we're very proud of, but not surprised.
What's it like seeing, as I'm sure you have seen, some students return, you know, for a couple years now, the improvement? I mean, that must fill you, the staff, with a lot of pride.
Absolutely. To be able to see where they start and kind of how they progress in just this short 2-week period, you will see students really grow and develop in their skills around the activity of debate, around their self-confidence, things of that nature. And so it is absolutely, you know, wonderful to be able to see that growth, right, in person. But when you think about our alum and the, you know, we have some that are back on our team as staff members. We have them on our associate board. And so it is amazing. And I think a testament to how strong the community is, how much love and passion people have for the activity, that they just keep coming back. And we love it. We welcome it. And we look forward to seeing more success and more leaders in the future.
Any chance I have against these students debating them?
Well, they may take it easy on you.
Spoiler alert, they didn't take it easy on me. So I went into another classroom and I watched for a bit as students, they analyzed opinions and thoughts and came up with countering arguments. And then they debated. There were really serious issues they talked about. There was a fascinating discussion about whether federal government should mandate school uniforms. And it was interesting watching them debate back and forth, even though both of them didn't agree with their own positions. They were training on the other side. It was fascinating. So I wanted to jump in with something fun and lighthearted, and two students really rose to the occasion. Here's just a snippet of me debating Jay about whether Wrigley Field or Guaranteed Rate Field is better. Wrigley Field is nostalgic. Built in 1914, it has a lot of history. Babe Ruth called his shot there in 1929. It just feels like baseball when you walk into the building. But at the same time, they've made a lot of upgrades.
So you say that, you know, it's Chicago baseball in its biggest form. So are you saying essentially that, is there any animosity because it's in the north side? Is there any kind of favoritism because it's in more of this rich area and neighborhood that you think it has more upgraded and modern status?
To counter that, I'd say some of the features at Guaranteed Rate Field are actually flashier in technology.
So then you agree that there are parts of Guaranteed Rate Field that look better and are flashier and more modern than Wrigley, as you were proclaiming that it was as nice.
I hope that was right.
I don't know. And then Cooper and I went back and forth about ketchup on hot dogs.
Ketchup on hot dogs is something that should not happen, specifically in Chicago, because traditionally Chicagoans do not put ketchup on hot dogs. A Chicago dog does not contain ketchup. It is everything but ketchup. It has tomatoes, but it doesn't have ketchup. And we as Chicagoans should be able to hold on to our history.
Food as part of our culture is extremely important. But how do things change if they always stay the same? Isn't challenging norms an important part of advancing and creating new cultures as it relates to the culinary world?
Well, challenging new things and creating new creations when it comes to culinary arts, there's some things that just shouldn't be touched. Sometimes it's okay to have our roots in history and to allow ourselves to experience something that is traditionally Chicago.
Ketchup has sugar in it. Sugar is tasty.
When it comes to an argument like sweet with salty, we've seen time and time again, especially with something, like I said, pineapple on pizza, that it just doesn't work and isn't commonly appreciated by people.
Getting schooled by 14 to 16-year-olds certainly put me in my place. They're really good. And part of the reason they're good is that they're competitive. They really want to win.
Oh, yeah, it gets really competitive. As someone who has a great passion for it, I would say I can get pretty competitive. And it feels good to win, I will not lie.
Winning is great.
Honestly, every time that we're told, me and my partner were told we win, it's just we
appreciate every single time. It's not just like, another win. It's I'm just like, yes, we did that. Oh my gosh, that argument you just did, your rebuttal was great, your delivery, like it's just, but I don't think there are any sore losers in Chicago debate. No one takes it personally. Like it just kind of like clicks. Like once the round is over, oh girl, you look cute, yes. And it's just kind of like we're friends afterwards, but during the round, you just don't let your relationships affect and you don't take it to heart.
It was awesome. It was a really cool day getting to meet some incredible young Chicagoans, and we're going to hear more from each and every one of them again in the future. They've got really bright careers ahead of them. ChicagoDebates.org is where you can go to find more information. They have a big anniversary gala on the 27th of October. It's at the Hilton. You can become a sponsor. You can become a donor. You can just be a friend of the organization. It just makes such a huge impact for so many of our city's future leaders. ChicagoDebates.org. It's awesome stuff. And I'm going to let Dr. Gunn have the last word.
Education is very near and dear to my heart. I was a first-generation college student, born and raised here in the city on the South Side, product of Chicago Public Schools. And I say all the time, nothing gets better than to be right here in my community, being able to give back to the students who need it the most and be able to offer something that I know without a doubt, education changed my life, that this will be able to have the same impact on them. And so we work hard and to ensure that students have access to this activity.
Hey, Block Club Chicago not only has this podcast, it has our On the Block TV show that airs Thursday at 7 p.m. on The U, Saturdays at 10 a.m. on CW26. And you probably know this, but if you don't, we also hop on with WGN Radio every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning right around 7:10 on 720 WGN. That's on your AM dial. Here was a recent chat with host Bob Surratt about some extremely local news.
And Seamus, fill us in on the police story about catalytic converters. That's a little more important than what I'm talking about.
You know, we've heard a lot about catalytic converters over the last couple years. The price of the chemical element inside them keeps going up, so thieves keep stealing them. And it's gotten violent in the last, this summer we've had a couple incidents. One just happened in West Ridge neighborhood on Monday where someone tried to stop a thief and got shot a couple times. He survived, but they're warning people to, you know, just if you see this happening, call the police. Don't try to stop it yourself. But there's also some other initiatives. Evanston and now the Wicker Park neighborhood, their police are going to start having people come in and they will mark your catalytic converter with some unique markings. And they're also going to spray paint it hot pink. And the idea is if someone steals it and brings it into the scrapyard, that hopefully this will deter the scrapyard owners and dealers from buying it. They'll know that it's hot. Just another way to even hopefully deter the thieves for once they get under your car. If they see it's spray paint hot pink, I think they're going to write Chicago police on it. So if that deters anyone, it's helpful to slow this down a little bit.
Yeah, it should work. Let's hope. And the Damon Green Line L is what are they doing? They're renovating the whole thing. What's the update on that?
Yeah, actually, there's no stop at the Damon on the Green Line right now. For years and years and years and years, there's been this 1.5 mile gap between California and Ashland, and it's really hard to build a new train station nowadays. And this one's taken 5 years and 2 groundbreaking ceremonies they've held for this, but they have cleared the site, they've prepped it, and they say they're going to start working on it later this month. It's about an $80 million project right now, but Alderman Walter Burnett has said he thought for years they skipped this area because there was so much public housing down there and thought it was a historical wrong that people have had to walk 2 miles to get to the train station. Mm-hmm. From that United Center area. But so he's pushed for it. They're hoping to get it done by late next year. And it'll be, he said, good for the medical district, good for the United Center, and good for all those homes that have been going up along Lake Street in the West Loop near North Side neighborhood.
The new station would be at Lake and Damon, right?
Yes, it would be at Lake and Damon, and it's really a gorgeous building that we've got some renderings at blockclubchicago.org, a modern building that's going to soar over Lake Street, and hopefully they'll start working on it later this month.
Hopefully. And finally, this is a nice story out of the Ravenswood neighborhood where folks are rallying around a Northside nonprofit. Fill us in on this one.
Yeah, this nonprofit, it's called Fresh Lens, and what they do is they offer photography services for students, mostly students in need that can't afford their own equipment, young folks. They've been doing it for a long time, but unfortunately, on July 30th, someone broke in and stole all of their gear, including a lot of the equipment that they give away to students at the end of these classes. But word got out. There's been a GoFundMe that's still up. They're hoping to raise the $10,000 to replace all the equipment. They've almost doubled that at this point, which is going to let them expand the program, buy some new equipment, and really, you know, have no slowdown in it. So the kids that are learning photography will be able to keep going to Fresh Lens, thanks to all the folks in the Ravenswood neighborhood who ponied up some money to help get this nonprofit back on its feet.
We like hearing that. Seamus, thank you. Have a nice day.
Thanks, Bob. You too.
And that'll do it for episode 54. Thanks so much for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast and to Block Club Chicago at blockclubchicago.org. Till next time, I'm John Hansen. We'll drop another pod on you next week. Take care.